Welcome to CEO and Founder Magic, the podcast for entrepreneurs with stories to tell about your success. I'm Sheila Clefcorn, professional fractional CMO for B2B companies and host of the podcast. I'm deeply committed to transforming the world through technology, one company at a time. So stick with me until the end of the show, and I'll reveal how you can be our next guest with just 15 to 20 minutes of your time. I'm glad you're here. Hello, and welcome back to the CEO and Founder Magic podcast. I am excited today to have Sean Languedoc with me, and he's got a powerful story. So let's jump in. Sean, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with your current company.
Well, thanks, Sheila, for having me. And the long story short, this is the fifth tech company I've done. And I was doing another one at the time, and there were immigration problems in the United States for technical workers, which I was helping solve because I'm from Canada and we have a very conveniently good immigration policy for tech workers that allows us to get a visa within 2 weeks. Wow. So I was rescuing H-1Bs out of the States that were expiring, bringing them to Canada and then contracting them back to the States. That one thing led to another. I was started a recruiting agency for international tech workers, helping my Canadian colleagues who were short of engineers. And they were only looking for really higher end engineers. And those are the only people we were bringing into the States. That was a closed loop. I wasn't offering those engineers to others. And then COVID happened and everything slammed shut. So what was a very good business turned into a crappy business. And once again, I've done five tech companies. I would probably say I've done 20 businesses, because every time you do a company from start, you are pivoting into where the market really wants you to go. In this case, where the world wanted us to go was remote was now okay. And every time I built a tech company, I had an inflection point where you needed to have more engineering capacity than you could hire at pace, right? So either a big project from a client that wanted something specific, or a trade show you had to get the product released before that, or a demo of it. Or you got a big check from a venture capital company. They said, man, you got to grow. Go get 20 more engineers. And you're what? So for one reason or another, you were at some point in your trajectory do need to look at outsourcing. And when you look at outsourcing, it's the opposite problem of hiring an engineer. There's just so many choices out there. The worst ones are hitting your inbox. The great ones don't bother. And so you don't know who to go to. So there's no, as an entrepreneur, generally you have little process in finding an outsourcing agency. It's like, hey, Sheila, do you know anybody? Well, right. You may know somebody who's really good, but if they're really good, guess what? Their best engineers are also already booked out. So you're sort of kicking your own hiring can down the road, or they'll say they'll get you somebody and you end up, you know, they'll scramble just as hard as you could. Or you look in a country and say, hey, you know what? I hear there's really good engineers in Romania or Ukraine. Well, guess what? In Ukraine, still today, there's 1,600 shops to choose from. Where do you start, right? So it's just, there's no filter for all that noise. And so I decided to leverage my international sourcers to start figuring out who's good at what and really get to the bottom line of solving the problem that we all have, which is we don't have enough time to look, which means we have lousy data to make a good choice, which results in 50% of the time, a major failure. And, you know, when you're an early stage company, you cannot afford that kind of a failure. Forget the money, the time you lost.
Sure.
So basically, I decided to start solving that problem. And it's been growing ever since. The customer delight is fantastic. We've shortened the time to find the right matching agency from what would take you months to a matter of a couple of weeks. And we do all the due diligence and get you down to the short list so that you're only interviewing people that are the best suited for what you need to do. So we're not a dev shop. We're not a recruiter. We're like the broker in between.
Nice. Yeah. Really, really needed. So had you had outsourcing nightmares prior to this that gave you some knowledge that would help you create a different kind of outsourcing agency?
Yeah. And everyone's got a bad story.
I have many myself and some really great ones. Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's one of those things. Like I in one case, we just sort of said, you know, like you're, it's your baby, right? I mean, and you're not going to take your baby to just any place, right? You want to know that daycare is really good. And so in my case, I was more prepared to pay a premium for a really good agency that was local. They could come into my office. I could talk to them, that kind of thing. But today, you know, the world has expanded and you have to move faster than ever before, because in the old days, you used to have sort of a technical moat, right? There's complexity in what you're building and required a lot of engineers. And now you've got Copilot and all these things. You know, it doesn't take long for somebody to replicate what you've built technically. So you have to move fast. And so having a team that has built what you're trying to build many times, so they know your product better than you do, that's hit the ground running and they've worked together. Wow. When you can get that in-house, that's like a cheap, it without being the cost of an acqui-hire, right?
Right.
It's awesome. And that's hard to do.
You experienced some of those hires earlier in your career, it sounds like, with some of those other.
Oh, yeah. You go for the, you know, hey, I hear India's great, you know, but they're 12 hours difference from me and I got to explain everything. And I shouldn't have said any country, but it could happen in any place, any country. You know, this is the key point. Do they really understand what I am saying? Like, do they understand the nuances? Because as entrepreneurs, we're like, most of us are visionaries and we sort of expect everyone to understand exactly what's going on in my head with only 10% of the information, right? And some places you can work with actually get that. Mm-hmm. So it depends on how you're set up. What is the culture of your company? How do you guys communicate? How do you, and then matching them with that communication style, let alone the basics, which are, you know, technical expertise and domain expertise. Mm-hmm. So that's the hardest thing to nail. And you can't do that from a small data set. You got to do that from a big data set, which
of a lot more agencies to work with. So for somebody who is a founder or a CEO who's trying to start something fresh like this, what did you learn? I mean, you had some nightmares of your own to go off of, but how did you go about learning how to provide the killer service on this?
Because I know the pain myself. I mean, that's number one, is just, you know, the problem that you have as an entrepreneur is you end up wanting to talk to the senior person of that agency, right? Okay. CEO to CEO or CTO, right? And then you get your CTO involved and they're trading off and you go, oh man, these people get us. Oh, this is going to be awesome. And then you find out it was just a bait and switch. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. And that happens all the time. So that is one example of a process that is a failure that most people go through and learn the hard way. So we go bottom up. We filter, and we have 79,000 companies in our database. Let's say 1,000 fit your criteria based on the tags we're talking about, you know, domain expertise, tech stack, depth, and communication style. New communication style comes later. But out of those, you know, only a handful, like 100 might respond to the request. And out of the 100, there only might be 20 that actually have a good team available at the time you're looking. And then you interview those teams and you get down to like 5. And that's the people you want to talk to because, you know, their communication styles, their culture, all those other things fit them out. And that's the heavy lift, right? So being able to do that at scale and fast is very tough, and do that properly. And so we go to a bottom-up strategy. We don't let our client talk to the agency's management until they've talked to the engineers who are assigned to that team. And we know that they're going to be available when the client says yes.
Yeah. So what else have you learned about setting up a global company like this?
This interview isn't long enough to... But I can tell you there are pluses and minuses to every kind of culture and every kind of, and I mean a culture like the varieties of hierarchical cultures like Southeast Asia tends to have, where, you know, they don't challenge the boss means they're in a sprint and they're not going to question things, right? There's advantages to that and disadvantages. If you're in a waterfall situation on your development style, boom, that works great. If you're more like an agile developer and or continuous improvement, continuous development, then you really want something that's more North American style, then that you might find that more likely in parts of Eastern Europe or Western Europe, some parts of South America. Mm-hmm. So just learning cultural nuances. And you can bridge those gaps with education. So if the client has already had experience with, maybe they've got a couple of hires in those countries, or they've got people in their teams that come from those countries, that's a really quick way to bridge, because you know they can bridge that nuances, those nuances. But if you don't, if everyone's in Kansas City, hey, you need somebody who's going to be in at furthest Indiana, right?
Right, right, exactly.
So that's why we have a database that's global and it's next door or far shore.
So if somebody was interested in engaging with you, how would they get connected with you and your company?
Well, our company, our website is outforce.ai, not .com, it's .ai. We give a little sample of what we can do on the site. It's not very good right now. Many improvements coming. And I love your feedback on what we can do to improve. But yeah, so we basically do an interview and figure out exactly what you need. And then we go into our database, pull out what we think is good. You like what you're seeing. We sort of refine that direction and then we start sending out requests. And that's the heavy lift, right? Like, it's easy to find a list of companies that might be able to do what you want. It's really hard to do due diligence on them and get the real information.
And so will they be paired with somebody on your team to help go through that process?
100%, 100%. Yeah, and who's been through this process so many times, they know when the agency people are not exactly telling the real story.
Well, that's fantastic. Sean, it's so great to have you on the podcast. If you're interested in outsourcing of engineering talent, please check out outforce.ai. Everybody have a great day. Until next time on the CEO and Founder Magic podcast.
Thank you for listening to CEO and Founder Magic, the podcast for entrepreneurs with stories to tell about your success. If you felt like this podcast interview captured your story, would you share it on social media? It's easy. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your social accounts. Be sure to use hashtag CEO Founder Magic and tag anyone you think would be a great guest. I love to see your posts and guest suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content, so to be sure you don't miss any episodes, please subscribe and we'll be excited to have you listen. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. And if you know of other business-to-business company CEOs who have compelling stories and who might like to be on this program as well, please visit keo.bz/booktoday. That's keo.bz/booktoday. And if you want to know more about our fractional CMO program, just go to our website, do a search on services for fractional CMO, or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at KEO Marketing. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. I'm Sheila Klefkorn, and it's been a pleasure having you on CEO and Founder Magic.